Welcome back to Hidden Treasures of the Midrash with Daniel Eisenberg. For Parshas Chayesar, I want to take a look at a Midrash from Bereishis Rabba that really asks the question, doesn't seem to give an answer, but can give us great insights into the entire storyline of Avram Avinu, as well as there's a enjoyable story in this Midrash itself. So the Midrash is in, again, Bereishis Rabba. This is in Parshas Samach, Psikta Ches. And it starts analyzing the pasuk in this week's parsha, Chav Dalad Lamed Beis, Vayavo Ha'ish Habaisa Vagomer, that Eliezer comes to the house of Rivka, of Lavan, the Suel, and he brings his camels. So Hitir Zmumehem. So the Midrash is actually translating a word from the pasuk that's not quoted in the opening over here, which is that. It says that Vayifatach HaGamalim, he opened up the Gamalim, the camels. So does it mean he opened them up? He released them. So the Midrash says Hitir Zmumehem, he released their muzzles. So then we have a question. Rav Huna v'Rav Yirmiya Sha'al Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Huna v'Rav Yirmiya asked Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Lo hayu Gamalav Sha'av from Avinu Domim Lachamaro Shal Rav Pinchas Ben Yair? Hold on. Were the camels of Avram Avinu not at least on the level of the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair? Pinchas Ben Yair is a Tana, and the Midrash is going to quote a story. This is also found in the Yerushalmi and Demai, and I think other places as well. There are other stories about the donkeys of Pinchas Ben Yair, but let's take a look at this one. So it says. So basically, there are these bandits who had stolen the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair, and it didn't eat anything. Omrin. So they said, Sofa Maisev Asasre Maharta Leino Nimsara Lerabot Rirona. They said, this is too much of a trouble for us. Right? It's going to die. It's not eating anything. Let's send him home. So Shalachu Avalas Bevesa Demara. So they sent it home. And came into Olsa Nahakas Vachakim Kala Amar Piskul Olsa Ania Vayavu La De Sechol Isla Tlasa Yomen De Lotama Mide. Right, short, when he heard the donkey braying at the door, he says, oh, I recognize that donkey braying anywhere. That's my donkey. He's returned. He's probably starving. He hasn't eaten in 3 days, so feed him. And it says that Yahavin La Sa'arin La Tamton, they tried to feed it barley and it refused to eat. Omrin Le Rabbi Yahavinan La Sa'arin La Tamton. So they said to it's not eating. Amar Lahoni says, why not? Did you take off meiser from it? Right, you're giving it this food. Maybe you didn't take off proper tithes and it's tevel. So Amarun lay in. He said, no, we did take off meiser. Then he says, apakton demai. Says, well, did you even. Even for regarding demai, Amru lo chein alfin rabbi, and they go on to explain. I'll just for the sake of brevity, skip that. They say the halacha is that if it's something for the behema, you don't have to. It's patur and minah demai. You don't have to take off demai. So we did take off meiser. But the demai we're putter from demai for giving for this animal. Amar Lahon, so Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says back to these attendants who are going to take care of the donkey, "My navid la vehi machmara al garma." He says, "What are we supposed to do if the donkey will be strict on herself? Right? She's very machmir. She has this chumros, this donkey, and even though technically according to the halacha we could be lenient, but the donkey itself is strict. What are we supposed to do? Maybe the word chumrah is strictness. This is related to chamor here. We see a very strict donkey that holds chumros. So it's quite humorous. And then the following story here is humorous as well. I mean, it's a little sad as well. It's a couple of Amorayim, Rav Yirmiya and Rav Zeira that. Are not spared from accidentally eating certain untithed produce, and then they say a famous line that's found in the Gemara and Shabbos and Chul and other places. If the previous generations are angels, then we're humans, and if they're humans, then we're donkeys. And then they say, "Veleis anan kachamarte de Rapinchas ben Yair." But when we say we're donkeys compared to previous generations, we're not. We don't mean like donkeys like Rapinchas ben Yair, because the chamarte de Rapinchas ben Yair, Yehovam la saari de tivlo lach las yasahon, because the donkey Rapinchas ben Yair was spared from eating barley that was tevel, and we va'anan achlinan te'enaya de tevilin, and we ate figs that are tevel. So. We're even worse than the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. But try to understand this question. The Midrash then goes on to the next discussion. It quotes the next part of the pasuk, "Veit in teven mispal lagmalin." So that's really the end of this midrash. So we can enjoy a couple of stories and these anecdotes, and it's entertaining and it's cute to see about this very strict donkey. But to not get too distracted that we forget what the midrash was trying to do in the first place. So the midrash says that Eliezer was doing, what Levin was doing, he untied the muzzles of the camels. Then they ask Rav Chiya, "Barabba, hold on. Is it true that Avram's camels had muzzles? Are they on a lower level than the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair?" Which is hard to imagine. Rav Pinchas ben Yair is a tremendous tzaddik, but I mean, he's not Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is Avram Avinu. And if Rav Pinchas ben Yair, his donkey was very machmir and careful not to eat any stolen food when he was in the possession of the bandits, or she was in the possession of the bandits, and then when she gets home, she refuses to eat anything that's untied, and even if it's demai. So if the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair is so strict, then for sure the camels of Avram Avinu would be careful about this. You would assume that they're, and whether it's talking about the donkey, again, it might be a little cute to talk about the donkeys and camels being strict, but we're talking about some sort of divine protection, as indicated from the story with Rav Yirmiyahu and Rav Zera, that there's some sort of divine protection that's given, that the animals of tzaddikim would not violate any isurim, and they felt bad that they weren't given this divine protection as well. So you would expect that this divine protection would be there for Avram as there was for Pinchas ben Yair. So why is it that the camels needed muzzles? And that's the question, and Rav Chiya Bar Abba doesn't answer it. The Midrash doesn't quote the answer of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, leaving us to wonder, well, why not? What is that about? Now, it's actually interesting, Ramban here understands that the fact that Rav Chiya doesn't respond, that the Midrash doesn't quote a response. I mean, it could be Rav Chiya Bar Abba did quote a response, could actually say something, but the Midrash doesn't quote it, that it's actually a rejection of the pshat that what was untied and released in this pasuk are the muzzles. Rather, Ramban says, actually, no, it's actually the saddles, right? The Midrash says, what's this pasuk talking about? It's talking about muzzles. Then there's a question, hold on, is it true that Avram's camels had muzzles? But what about Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey that had this divine protection and didn't violate any Surim? So why do you have the Avram Avinu? So therefore, this is the Midrash's way of rejecting that first pshat, and Ramban says that it's actually referring to saddles that were released, but not muzzles, because they weren't muzzled, because indeed Avram's animals had divine protection from violating any Isurim, just like Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey. However, Mefarshim on the Midrash itself give different suggestions. We see Namar Zu, Eitzios, and Eitzios. They suggest basically that simply Rav Chiya didn't answer. Then the Midrash doesn't quote Rav Chiya's answer because there were multiple answers that could have been given. Didn't really like the question so much. Some of the answers that they bring down are that Avram didn't want to be somech al neis, right? And they're traveling through people's fields, and you're not allowed to rely on a miracle. So yes, it could be that they would have been Avram's animals would have been protected, but he needed to be responsible and not rely on miraculously camels and whatever livestock and sheep not grazing in front of other people's fields. So one answer that's given, another answer that they give is that, you know, no, maybe Avram's personal camel or personal donkey would have this divine protection, but not necessarily everything in this property. We see by Rav Pinchas ben Yair, this was his special donkey. But maybe that would not be the case. And there are other stories in Shas about Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey. So maybe it was his personal one, that would be different. And Avram's personal camel, his personal donkey, maybe. But not all of his livestock are necessarily protected from this. And that's another answer that's given. Perhaps we can suggest a different answer, which is that even though Lamaisa, practically speaking, the camels of at least Avraham wouldn't eat from stolen food, but it was important for Avraham that he didn't violate Maris Ayin, right? For people to think, like, meaning Avraham knows maybe that his animals are not going to graze from other people's property, but other people might see Avraham and not realize that, and they'll think that he doesn't care about that kind of thing. And in fact, even more than just Avraham being concerned about Maris Ayin, but Avram was trying to actually demonstrate the morality for the common person. He was trying to teach morality and not stealing and muzzling your animals when you're in other people's fields. That he was trying to demonstrate that. I mean, not just that, what are people going to think, but he says, I want to teach people what to think. So yes, maybe his animals, they're on a greater level than Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey, or at least as good. They're not going to graze from anybody else's property, anything that's stolen, because of this divine protection that Avraham Avinu has. But Avraham Avinu wants to teach the world a lesson, which is that it's not appropriate to leave your animals unmuzzled in other people's fields. And that's a message that's really Avram's entire mission, and especially over here in this story when Avram is trying to find the right person to be the next link in the chain, right? Avram, Sarah has passed away. Avram knows his time will come sooner or later, and he needs to find someone for Yitzhak. And in this mission, they want to demonstrate something very important, demonstrate this lesson, and that's why perhaps the Torah calls extra attention to it, and Chazal pay extra attention to it over here, which is that this whole mission is pitching Torah and Avodas Hashem and morality. It's pitching it to whomever Eliezer will end up finding for Yitzchak, that Rivka is going to be learning over here the importance of this morality and this lifestyle of ethics. And the question is she going to buy in? And of course, Rivka sees this. Rivka sees exactly what she's getting herself into and wants to be part of that. She sees the tzaddik Yitzchak. She's blown away, as Chazal indicate. And the message was well received. We should be zochet to be mindful of this as well, that whatever we do, we are continuing the mission of Avraham to demonstrate what morality is, to truth and justice and honesty and integrity, to make that Kiddush Hashem. And even if we know that we're not doing something wrong, but the importance of first of all, in the negative, not violating this Maris Ayin and making it look bad and making that Chilul Hashem, but even the opposite, to go out of your way to make a Kiddush Hashem and let everyone see clearly what it means to be part of the Zera Avraham. We zocha to internalize this message. Have a beautiful Shabbos.